But this week, I'm looking at, and I want us to look at, protecting your harvest. Because once you've got a good ground and you're putting the Word of God into your heart, you want that to stay there. And there are things that God has put in His Word to show us how to keep it there and what we're to do. You see, we have an enemy out there who is after the seed of God's Word. He doesn't want that seed of God's Word to grow in your lives, to flourish, to produce all that it's meant to produce. And we can see right from the very beginning in the book of Genesis 3, verse 15, and it says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." And this is where God has spoken to Adam, he's spoken to Eve, and then he's speaking to the enemy, and he's saying, he, Jesus, will crush, in other words, crush your head, and you will bruise his heel. He was after the seed. And you know, if the enemy can steal your seed, if he can take the Word of God from out of your heart, he can't literally take it out of your heart, but what he can do is he can create circumstances in your life that knock you, that get you distracted, that may cause you to let go of that word that you've put in your heart. So how do we protect our seed? And I've got quite a few scriptures, but to me, you can't go wrong with the Word of God. And if you've got it based on the Word of God, then you know it's good ground. And Proverbs 4:20 gives us really clear instructions. It says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." And I want to pull out just three words there. And the first one is incline, where it says, "Incline your ear to my sayings." And I looked each one of these up. I knew what they meant, but I wanted to look them up in the dictionary. And it gives that definition. Obviously, an incline is like an inclined slope. But it's also that tilting. Now, I don't know. If you ever seen me do that after the service, when all you bunch are talking, and I'm talking to someone, and it's like there's all this noise going on, and I can't quite hear. And I will tilt my head just so that I can hear more clearly. But that's what we're meant to do with the Word of God, because there will be a lot of distractions in this world. There'll be a lot of noise going on in this world to take the Word of God from your heart. And you've got to lean in. You've got to incline your ear to what God's Word is saying. Then it says, "Do not depart." So I looked up depart. Simple, means go away or leave. But God says, do not go away. Do not leave the Word of God. Do not let it go. You know, just don't move away from it. Keep it in the midst of your heart. Let it always be there. You know, do not let it depart from your eyes. In other words, the Bible needs to be something that is in front of our eyes. It needs to be something that we're putting into our hearts daily by seeing it, by reading it. And then it's got, keep them in the midst of your heart. And keep means to continue having or holding. And I like to look at it like a zookeeper, because a zookeeper keeps his animals. If he's a good zookeeper, he'll look after them well, he'll protect the animals, he'll give them all that they need. But if we're good stewards of the Word of God, then we're going to protect what God has put in our hearts, and we're going to make sure that everything is needed to keep that Word in our heart safe. We make sure that we do. And we're going to look this morning at the example of Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, because Nehemiah is such a good example of how we can protect our hearts and cause the ground to stay good. You see, Jerusalem was broken down, and Nehemiah was the man to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, to make it secure, to make it safe. But there were three enemies of the Jews. Now, I'm not very good on long words and, you know, unusual words, so hopefully I'm pronouncing them right. But these three were Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. I might be wrong on how to pronounce it, but hey. But these three, they mocked the Jews. They mocked them, and they made fun of them. And I want us to read this, because this really gives quite a clear pattern of what the enemy does to us when we're venturing out in the things of God, when we want to move in the things of God, when we want to see God move in our lives and see him do things, you know, through us. So let's read Nehemiah 4, verse 1. It says, But it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubble, stones that are burned? Now, Tobiah, the Amorite, was beside him, and he said, whatever they build, even if a fox goes up on it, he will break down that stone wall. In other words, really taking the mickey out of them, trying to discourage them, trying to make them think, well, actually what they're doing is no good. What do they think they are, you know, doing something like that? But doesn't the enemy do that to us? You know, I'm sure we've all experienced, and times you want to move out in the things of God, and it's like this blockage that comes, or hard times hit, and you think, what's the point? Why try this? It seems too hard. But do you know, God puts it in his words that there are ways to do things that make it easy. And, it doesn't mean we're not going to face difficult times. It just means he carries us through them. And, you know, there could be times also when you're putting the word of God in your heart, and then you get that sort of, I don't know, situations change and life becomes difficult. And you can feel weak inside. And I remember a time, it was a time in our, well, it was when we were a lot younger, weren't we? But I was just going through a real difficult time in my life. I think I was in my early 20s. And I was really struggling. And I thought, I've just got to feast on the word of God. I've got to get strong. And I remember Jeff would do the washing up each evening for me after I'd cooked meal. And I went outside, it was through summer, and I sat in the garden and I just read. And I read and I read until he'd finished washing up and then we'd get on and do things with the kids. But I did this for weeks on end. And I found, and I remember Jeff called me in. He said, right, we're going to do whatever it was with the kids. And I remember him calling me in and I'm thinking, oh, I just want to stay here. I just want to stay in the Word of God, because I actually feel like, you know, when you feel like life is hard and you feel almost like your shoulders are slumped. But it felt like I was standing up inside strong, and I knew that it was nothing of myself. It was God's word that was doing something in me that I needed. You know, when we can feel weak in life, when we know that the enemy will try to sort of take the word of God from our hearts, we need to make sure that we keep the word of God in us. We stay close to God because he's our strength. He's everything for us. You know, Nehemiah, he put a watch day and night to stop those attacks, because the enemy of the Jews had planned an attack so that they couldn't carry on rebuilding this wall to make Jerusalem secure. So he put a watch day and night, and we need to have a watch over our lives. And you know, the Holy Spirit, we've been given the Holy Spirit. He lives inside us, but he's there to show us, to warn us, to let us know, do you know what? That thing there that you think is just an annoying thing, and if you latch onto that, it's going to rob you. If you allow this to get you down or to rob your joy, it's going to rob you. The Holy Spirit reminds us, but do you know, he's so good, because he'll then strengthen you. And, you know, even this morning, I'll be honest, I've been really nervous about doing this morning, and I get a little bit nervous about coming up here anyway. But I felt really nervous this morning, and I thought, Lord, you've got to help me, because I can't do this on my own. It has to be you doing it. But God will always be there for us. So I had a situation through the week that I won't go into details, but at that moment I said, God, help me. And I just called upon the name of the Lord. And you know, he was there. He is always there for us. So he will help us even in those difficult times that we're struggling with. And let's go on to with Nehemiah. Nehemiah 4, verse 16 to 17 says, so it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at construction, while the other half held the spear, the shield, the bows, and wore armor. And the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other hand they held a weapon. Do you know what? That's what we've got to do in life. We need to carry on with life, doing what we need to do, but with the other hand, we're conscious that we've got the Word of God and we are walking forward with the two working hand in hand. Because how many of us start out praying, start out believing in a situation, and then for whatever reason, we get distracted or life's situations come up and then we don't carry on. And then it's weeks later and you think, oh, I was praying about that and I'd forgotten all about that. I've done it. I know I've done that. And it's like, why did I stop? What got into my world that so distracted me that I didn't carry on that line? And I don't know about you, but I don't want that to happen to my life. I don't want, when I'm starting on a journey, I get distracted, I get sidetracked, that actually I stay online pursuing the thing that I know God wants me to pursue. You know, God is so good because in his word, you know, he gives us everything we need. This word, the Bible, is his love letter to us. It's what we read to know. It's our manual for life, to know how to live well. And, you know, God is a God of love, and he cares so much about us, and he wants us to live through this life victorious and on top of every situation. But he's also given us the armor of God. And Ephesians 6, verse 13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put the breastplate of righteousness on, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and all supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. And I want to look at that bit in verse 13. It says, and having done all to stand, stand. And you know, in life, we're gonna embark on a journey. Maybe for some of us, it's healing. And we're taking hold of God's word where it says about the, you know, we are healed because of what Jesus did on the cross. For others, it may be there's needs we need met. For others, it could be with their loved ones. We're desperately wanting to see one for God. It could be a whole numerous load of, you know, things. But when we find the promises of God in his word and we put those in our hearts, we've then got to stand. And it's not just, you know, it's standing. It's standing. I looked at it. It says standing, vigorously opposing, bravely resisting. It's that moment where you just, I'm standing my ground and you're not moving me. But you see, in our natural, we can be moved. Someone could come out. I've got one of you people that are bigger than me. You could easily come over and knock me over if you wanted to. But in the spiritual realm, that can happen too. And in the natural, yes, the enemy can knock us, but not when we've got God standing behind us. And he's backing us all the way. And he says, no, you can carry on with this. You can keep going. Don't you worry, you know. Trust in God. Take in that whole armor of God. You know, put in the waistband of truth. That truth, this word, be what holds. You know, it's almost like that belt holds everything in. It holds the truth, everything together. And that's what we've got to walk in, the truth of God, knowing who we are in Christ, that, you know, we are his children and that he loves us. Another scripture about, you know, tying up a waistband. It's 1 Peter 1:13. It says, therefore, gird at the loins of your minds. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I believe in like Bible times, obviously the guys wore big robes, sort of thing, long robes. And when they were ready to do action, they would lift it up, tuck it into their belt so that they could run. But that's such a spiritual pattern of everything that would get in the way as they're trying to run is removed. And we need to do the same. We need to make sure our life is clear so that we can run the race and see those things come to pass. So looking after the seed of God's word to see it grow. You know, we need to pray. I mean, that's just a simple thing in that sense. It's so simple to talk to God. You know, I know some people may struggle with prayer, but actually it's just a conversation with God. It's just you and him. And, you know, it's no fancy words. It's nothing that, you know, you've got to have the correct words. We've got to make sure everything's right. It's just you and him talking. And that's what he wants. And that's, you know, when you're pouring out your heart to him and telling him how you feel and asking him what you're desiring. You know, James 5:16 says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And this is such a lovely scripture because it's, is it Elijah or Elisha, Jeff? Which one is it? I always get mixed up with these. Elijah. And Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't for a great length of time. And then he prayed it would rain, and then it did, you know? And I think at the time it was famine, wasn't there? I think it was famine, wasn't it? But it says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man. You know, if you've made Jesus Christ Lord of your life, you're righteous in his sight. Nothing of us. Nothing that we can do. It's all him. It's what he's done for us. So we need to pray, pour out our heart to him, let him know what it is we're believing for, we're standing for. Find the promises of God's word and talk to him about it. Then we need to remind God of his word. And, you know, I to me, this is so powerful. And again, lots of scriptures, but Isaiah 62:7 says, I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent, and give him no rest until he establishes, and he will make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. But this is a pattern for us. You know, we're not to keep silent. We're to remind God of what he has said. He's asked us, put me in remembrance of my word. In other words, you find those scriptures through this Bible, you look through, you be diligent, find it. And then you remind God, God, you said this. You said that you would meet all my needs according to your riches in glory. You said that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And, you know, and there's so many scriptures of the things that we want to see happen. But when we talk to God about what he has said, we're pulling on that covenant that he made with Jesus for us, because we come into that and we're pulling on that and we're saying, this is what you said. When we have an agreement, you know, if you buy a house, you make an agreement, or you go into business together, you have agreements, you have certain things. But, you know, Jesus and God had this agreement and the covenant that they made for us so that we are on that too with Jesus, that actually everything that Jesus had, we can have. And to remind God that this is what you've said in your word. This is your covenant to us. This is what you've promised us. And we're taking hold of it, God. And we're believing you. God loves it when we remind him of his word, because he knows his children are growing in him. Don't we love it when natural children are learning, they do something new, and you just celebrate it, you clap, and you're just, great, you're doing wonderful. But you know, God does that with us. Fantastic. You're getting there. You know what it's meant to be. And that's what we're meant to be. And then we need to be thanking him. And again, a really powerful thing. Because when you're going through situations, to keep thanking God can be hard. But we need to do it. You know, we sang the song this morning. What was the one song? No, not that one. Morning, I thought, I've got to remember that, and I can't remember. Which one was it? Was it the second? The one where you go through storms or whatever, and I will shout hallelujah. I would sing a hallelujah, that's the one. I will sing a hallelujah or shout a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. Do you know, it's in the situation, that situation when the enemy is attacking, life circumstances aren't going right, that we can be tempted to think, it's not working. Nothing's changing, but God doesn't want us to do that. You know, he wants us to thank him and thank him. We've seen this numerous times in our lives where we've prayed and we've asked God for things and certain situations to change. And we've declared, reminded God of his word, But we've also thanked him, said, thank you, God, you've got this. Regardless of what the situation looks like, regardless of everything seems like it's fallen apart. In fact, everything looks like it's getting worse. Regardless of that, your word still stays the same. And you said you can turn it around. So that's what we're holding on to. And we thank you for it. Do you know when you thank you? With me and Jeff, you know, if he was to say to me, oh, what, you know, what would you like me to do for you? And I give him something that I really want to do. He says, right, I'm going to do that. And I'd be like, oh, I'm so grateful. Just say it was going to happen in a week or whatever. I am so looking forward to that. And I would be saying, thank you, Jeff. Oh, I can't wait for it. And I'd be so excited. And I would do that naturally to my husband. Why wouldn't we do that to God? God, I may not see it right now, but actually, I know that you have this for me, and I'm so grateful, and I thank you. And it's just praising him in the midst of it. Because Psalm 92, verse 1, and we've actually used this. We used this one actually when we were moving, wasn't it? And everything just seemed to go haywire with house situations. And it says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. To declare his loving kindness in the morning. When you wake up in the morning, say, God, you're good. Regardless of circumstances, you are good. And what you've said in your word is true, and it cannot fail. So, Father, I thank you for your loving kindness upon our lives. And then when you go to bed at night, regardless of whether you've seen it or not that day, God, you are still faithful. Your faithfulness never changes. We change. He never changes. His faithfulness is still the same. But to thank him for his faithfulness through the day. Because if you got through the day, that means you've got something to thank for anyway. So, but it's remembering in this journey that this is nothing of ourselves. This is nothing we can do. We just follow what the instructions are. Nothing that we can do. We can pray, we can thank God, we can remind him of his word. But that still doesn't get the answer. It's not of ourselves. This is God. And Paul was reminded of this, and he tells us this. He said in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 7, it says, who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. It's God who brings the increase. It's God that brings the answer. We just follow the instructions. That's simply all it is. He brings those answers because we've taken those steps. When we moved, just over a year ago, wasn't it? We'd had a washing machine for 20, 21 years. Brilliant. It was brilliant. And actually, we prayed over our washing machine because we'd gone through a couple of them. And with a large family, we did quite a few washes a day. And so we just prayed over. I said, Lord, let this machine last us a long time, not pay out any more money on, you know, washing machines. And but when we moved, bless it, it packed up. And So we had to get a new one. And if I could get this thing working, it was driving me up the wall. I could not get this thing working. I mean, it had the digital buttons and slide, and I tried this and tried. I briefly looked at instructions and tried, and it would not work. And I said, this is driving me batty. I just can't get this thing working. And then I just thought, come on, right, let's get the instructions. Let's look at it. Let's do step by step by step. And I did. And it worked. So, but you know what? God has put principles down in his word, not to make life hard for us, to make it easy. Because when we do these things, we then just see him move for us. You know, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered. But planting, watering, a farmer can go out and plant, he can water, but he still cannot make that seed grow. That's God. And he is the same in our lives. We just do what he tells us to do. And he brings the increase. It's bringing our minds, our hearts, our mouths in line with God's word. He wants the best for us. And a farmer won't dig up his seed. He knows that there's seed, time, and harvest. And we must not dig our seed up either. We must not allow those things where the enemy whispers to you, it's not working. You're not healed, you're still in pain. Those situations aren't changing. They're never going to change. You know, we all have these whispers, or am I on my own? You know, we all have them, don't we? Where, you know, these things come, and but the thing is, we don't, you know, you can have thoughts come, but don't let them rest in your head. It doesn't mean they won't come. Just don't let them rest there. Don't meditate on them. Meditate on God's word. Because when we start speaking out those things, we're starting to dig the seed up. And any seed that's dug up is not going to grow. So we need to keep our mouths and our hearts and our minds, everything in line with God's word. And it's in some ways, it almost seems like, well, this is, you know, it's too easy. But actually, it is easy if we do it right. It's harder when you're going through a tough time. I don't deny that. We've been through tough times. We know how hard it is to stay strong, how hard it is to keep holding on to God when everything looks a mess. But God comes through for you, and you hold that victory in your hands, and you know that God is faithful. I wonder how many of us have given up when breakthrough was moments away, literally moments away, and we've given up. God doesn't want that in our lives, where we stay strong for so long, and then suddenly it's like, I've had enough. I'm not doing this any longer. Let's not do that. Let's not grow weary. In Galatians 6:9, it says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. You know, we mustn't lose heart. And the reason I believe God put that there is because he knows that life can be tough. We can have tough situations in our lives. We can have situations that will be there to rob anything that of God that's in our lives. But it's not getting weary. It's staying strong in God. Just like a farmer trusts the seed is in the life is in the seed that he sows, and it's going to grow itself. We too must trust that the word of God is alive. It is powerful. It's God's word. It is, the Bible is inspired by God. So as we put that into our hearts and then speak it out of our mouths with faith, do you know what? God will cause his seed to grow. Nothing of ourselves, his doing. Because his seed will never die. 1 Peter 1:23 says, I have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel we preach. So it's incorruptible seed. It cannot fail. Isn't that a wonderful promise? His word cannot fail us. His promises cannot fail us when we rest in them. And you know, I like to think of it just like a child, really. A child would just simply accept. If you tell a child something that you're going to do for them, they take it, don't they? They believe you. And, you know, that's how God wants us to be. He told us to, you know, to have faith like children, just to accept, just to simply trust he's our Heavenly Father. What he's promised in his word for us, he will make sure happens. And, you know, we need to be abiding in him. And, you know, we often talked about the fact of the importance of reading God's word, because, you know, we can pray, and there's nothing wrong with that. And God answers any prayer that, you know, the prayers that we pray, but they have to be. They have to line up with God's word. And to know what God's word said, we've got to read it, because that's the only way you're going to know it. But you know, the strength that you'll get and the ability to be able to look through the word of God and say, where's that, God? Show me. And I actually did this the other day. It's so easy to go on Google. And as I was preparing for this, I thought, I wonder where that scripture is. And I was immediately going to get my phone, go on Google. I thought, Lord, hold on a minute. Show me. Where is it? Because I must have heard some ministry or something, and they were saying, we always rely on Google or rely on this, but I don't rely on the Holy Spirit to show you. And I thought, okay, God, show me. You know, and I did look at the back, at, you know, where it talks about different scriptures, and I found it. But, you know, the Holy Spirit is there to help us in our lives, and he wants to produce that fruit through us. And when we've given our lives to Jesus, it's like, you know, he is the vine and we are the branches. We're connected to him. What's in him should flow through us. And You know, because it also talks about in this scripture, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. That's what we want, isn't it? To bear much fruit. But then it goes on to say, for without me, you can do nothing. We can't do a thing ourselves. Nothing. It's not through works. It's not through, I'm going to do this and I'm going to pray harder or I'm going to confess the word more and more. It's not. It's resting in him, follow God's instructions and let him do the rest. It was actually last week, and I was just at my own time of praying, and I was praying this particular scripture, which I've been praying quite regularly lately, and I thought, I know the scripture's in Psalms, but I can't remember where it was, so I did look it up, found the scripture, and then I started to pray it. But what I did, I said, Lord, this scripture, and then I said the scripture, you've promised me, and this is what I'm laying hold of. And, you know, I thought about it, and I thought, you know, what's that done for me? It's given me confidence, then I know where it is. You see, you can have a contract with something in the natural world, and you think, oh, I know it's there somewhere, it says, but actually I don't really know where it is. But actually, when you go to that contract, you look at it, and say, that's where it says it. So that's got to happen, you know, that's got to be fulfilled. But it's the same with the Word of God. When we know and we can say, right, I know Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. Lord, you said in Psalm 23, you are my shepherd. You know, you're with me. It gives, there's a confidence that comes when you know where the scripture is. God wants us to know this word because ultimately when we know this word, we'll know him because this is his heart in him. And I love it, what Joshua 1, verse 7 to 9. You know, this is a very popular scripture, but how true this is. And it's saying, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. We all want good success, don't we? We all want the you know, things to go well. We all want to see answers in certain situations. But this is how we're to do it, is to allow his word to be such a part of our lives that actually it just flows through us. I remember a time, I think it was the first time that we were actually going to America. So I don't know how many years ago that would have been, 30 years ago. And I had never flown. I was nervous at the thought of flying because it was the thought of being so high. I didn't like heights. And it was a week before we were about to fly out, and we heard on the news that there had been a major air crash, plane crash, and obviously everyone died. And immediately, you know, fear is about to start rising, but instantly God's word came into my heart. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Because Psalm 91 has always been part of our lives. But that was instant. And do you know what it did is it took the fear out before it could land. Because, you know, there's no way I could have ever got on that plane house. But he took the fear out. But he did it because that scripture was very close to our hearts. And, you know, he wants that with each of us in our lives. When there's situations that we face and you're that sudden moment of, but what do I do now? Or sudden fear or, you know, that's where God that can use his word through the Holy Spirit and remind us of his word and bring rest to our souls. Naturally, gardening can be really hard. You know, those who've got a garden and don't do gardening, it can be really hard work physically. We know this from moving into ours. And, you know, you ache and it's like, oh, this is such hard work. But, you know, the more we did the gardening, the stronger we got. Eventually, the aches started to go and you just start to get used to it. But it's the same spiritually. You know, it may seem like it's hard work, but actually, it's not really. Is it hard to pray? Not really. It's just talking to God. Is it hard to remind God of the scriptures? Not really. We just sit. We just have a moment where we just look, find the scriptures. You know, say, God, this is what you've said. Is it hard to thank him? Absolutely not. They're easy things to do. But the more we do it, the stronger we get at it, the more confident we get in it. You know, the more we watch over the ground of our hearts, protecting the seeds of God's word, the stronger we will become. And having done all to stand, we will be able to stand. And I'm going to finish with just two scriptures. You know, Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." A lot of us alike can be like that, can't we? Life can be hard and it can seem like there's a lot of things going on. But Jesus has come to you and I will give you rest. This is what he wants for us to have rest. Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How beautiful is that? You know, for my yoke, take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle and lowly, and you'll find rest. Do you know, that just paints to me such a beautiful picture that God's saying, do it my way. If you do it my way, it takes all the work out of it, takes all the stress out of it. And I know this. I know this to be certain. You know, we've talked about a couple of times about the life that we've had. You know, for the last couple of years, there's been a situation we were dealing with, really, really tough. And at the beginning of it, I was struggling so badly, and I'd wake up every day, and I would spend so much of the day in tears. And I'd be pouring my heart out to God, and I'd be praying, and I would just... But I knew I was making myself ill. I knew physically that I was really struggling with this. I was carrying the weight of this thing myself. And I remember listening to something, and this preacher was saying, if you've gone before God, and you've cast your care upon him, when you get up and get on with the rest of your day, if you're still worried about it, you've not cast your care upon him. And that really spoke to me. And I thought, God, I'm sorry. I keep picking this thing back up, don't I? So I got to the point that I said, okay, God, your word says in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, cast all your care upon me because you care for me. And I knew that casting, I mean, that even in that word itself, I mean, Jeff's a fisherman and I watch him, and it literally is fling. You've got to fling that thing out. And spiritually, we have to sometimes fling out that thing that we're praying for because sometimes it's too heavy for us to carry. And I would pray. Yes, I would still do all my prayer and this, that, and the other and declaring God's word. But once I'd finished, I would then get up and I would say, God, I have now put this at your feet. I am not going to worry about this for the rest of the day. I would be back there again tomorrow. I will be back declaring his word and thanking him. But right now, I'm carrying on with the rest of my day, and I'm not going to worry about it. And you know, it was like the burden lifted, and life got easier. And we did see the answer. God did come through. And because God is faithful. And you know, he doesn't want us to carry the burden. He doesn't want it to be hard on us. He loves us too much for that. But he's made a way that he says, if you'll just follow these things, if you'll just do it how I've told you in my word, what you will do is make your life prosperous. As it says in Joshua, it says, then you will make your way prosperous. It's actually, we're just following his instructions, like I did with the washing machine. When I learned to push the right buttons because I'd followed the manual, then it all worked. But again, nothing of myself. That was a machine, naturally. But the same with the word of God. When we do it God's way, it takes the work out of it. And when we put it puts it all into God. And he's the one that does it for us. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, that you've given us your Bible, the word of God, to show us and lead us into the path that you want us to go. You show us how to live this life victorious. You show us how to live well. And Father, I thank you that as each of us endeavor to put your word in the good ground of our hearts, I thank you, Father, that your Holy Spirit will show each one of us whenever there is something coming to steal that word. It could even be nice things that are coming, but they're things that are coming to take away the word of God. Father, I pray that you'll open our eyes to know what's happening. Father, that we will be very protective over that word, because, Father, that's what produces life. And, Father, I thank you that you've got good in your heart for all these people, for each one of us. Your plan for us is for good. And Father, I thank you that your word promises, as we trust you, you will never let us be put to shame. Father, you are faithful, and we thank you, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is so important, and it can seem so alien, so strange, or so different, but this is such a biblical principle. And Jesus's life, the Bible is very clear, like Jane said in the very first scripture, Jesus was the seed of God who was sown onto the earth, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. And all the principles that Jane's laid out are fantastic principles, but without God, who produces the good ground and the seed in our life, we're nothing. And we always give an opportunity for people to say, I want to receive Jesus into my life. I want to accept what he's done on my behalf. And when we consider the journey of Christianity and what Jesus did, he came to earth as a baby. We're going to be celebrating that at Christmas. He lived a life, the God kind of life, the life that God created and empowered him to live as the Son of God. Then he fulfilled his days, and at 33, he died on a cross. He didn't die on a cross for his sin. He died on the cross for ours. It's called the Great Exchange. I should have died for my sin, because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And it's through what he did at the cross we can receive that gift of life. If we knew what that gift of life entailed, it's not just a ticket to heaven, and it's not just our sins being forgiven, but it's a relationship with God that James talked about this morning, whilst we're here, and then all eternity with him. So he said, the wages of sin, we've all sinned. None of us are perfect, and God doesn't judge sin on a scale of, oh, you've done a little thing and you've done a big thing. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the wages of sin being death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. How do we receive that? Well, God offers it to us in a moment like this. But we have the choice whether we receive that gift that's been offered. How do we receive that gift that's offered? The Bible is very clear. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died for you and rose again, you will be saved. It's that simple. Again, I guess in some senses it's the sowing and reaping. As you pray, you receive the harvest, which is eternal life. So I'm going to give that as an opportunity for everybody in this room. And I know so many people have, but you may be here and you've journeyed with us for months, but today's your day. Something's just dropped in your heart. You may have walked in for the very first time. Someone may have brought you. Someone may have forced you. Well, however it happened to be today. Do you know what? I believe God wants to have an encounter with your life so that you can encounter him in your life. So we're gonna pray together. I'm going to pray. You pray after me. And then the end of the prayer, when I've said amen, I'm going to count to three. And if you prayed this prayer and you meant it sincerely in your heart, not because you feel pressured, not because you feel you ought to, but because you want Jesus to come into your life today and make a difference in your journey, I'm going to ask you to pop up your hand and pop it back down. So let's pray this together. Father, I come to you this morning, and I thank you that Jesus died for me. Whilst I was still in my sin, he chose to die for me. And I receive the life that Jesus came to give, that I could be born again from death to life, with all my sins washed away. I receive you today. In Jesus' name. Amen. While every head is bowed, every eye closed, I believe God wants to do work in your life right here, right now. If you prayed that prayer and you prayed it sincerely in your heart, I'm not saying you understood everything that's been said, but right now in your heart, you know you need to make your peace right with God. Let's see your hand go up. 1, 2, 3. If that's you, just give me a wave. Thank you. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. There's 3 adults in the room saying yes to Jesus this morning. Is there anybody else? You know, don't miss the moment. Don't think I'm too old or too young. I've done too much. I've not. God loves you. He died in your place. I just want to give you a couple more moments. Is there anybody else in this room? You say, yeah, that's me. 3 people have said yes to Jesus. I'll tell you what, the difference that he's made in my life, the difference I know he's made in so many other people's lives in this room. Will you say yes to him today? I'm going to count down from 3. 3, 2, 1. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you've manifested yourself. You've revealed yourself. The people in this room would say, God, come into my life and change me. And I thank you, Father, for that this morning. And Lord, we just give you the praise. As Jane said earlier, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. So Father, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.